children are making their way back to their seats, let's pray before we go, before we reach church this morning. God, we trust that you have our best interests at heart. As we hear the reading of your word, remind us that we have been raised with Christ, and inspire us to seek the things that are above through the power of your Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you will turn to Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Last week, Paul was talking and he was trying to get the people of Colossae to understand that there were those who were teaching that we're offering shortcuts to God, but rarely is a shortcut ever a good thing. More often than not, it costs us more than we intended it to. And for us who are trying to follow God, there's never a shortcut to Jesus. There's only one right way to Jesus. And in the passage today, Paul is trying to begin to show them what that pathway begins to look like as they follow God. Last week I told a story of when Rebecca and I had gone back to school. We were headed back to Kentucky, and I thought I was the smartest man in the world and had found a shortcut that was going to take hours off our trip. And instead of it taking hours off, it added hours to our already 20-hour trip. When we were moving back to Texas from Wilmore, Kentucky, Rebecca and her parents got in a car and they were headed to Ogallala, Nebraska, where her parents lived. And I and a friend got in our U-Haul truck and were bringing all of our earthly goods to Lubbock, Texas to unload and wait for our first appointment to the church. My friend and I, we got in the truck and we got to Lubbock. No incident, no nothing really to right home of that. But Rebecca and her family, they got to eastern Nebraska and they stopped to eat lunch. And Rebecca was busy with the kids. Her parents were busy with the kids. And they finally finished eating and they packed everything up, got in the cars, got down the road, and down the road Rebecca realized she had left her wallet with all the money she had for her time she was going to spend with her parents and her debit cards. And she had nothing. So they stopped and they found the phone number for the restaurant. They stopped at, and some honest soul had turned in her wallet with everything, what it looked like, everything was still in place. So Rebecca asked, it's a big ask, but can you ship my wallet to me, to my parents' house, so that I have my wallet? And they said, absolutely. They called back later and gave Rebecca a tracking number for her wallet. So from eastern Nebraska to western Nebraska, where Ogallala is, just a few hours by car, but Rebecca began tracking her wallet, and it went from eastern Nebraska to St. Louis. And from St. Louis to Memphis. And I think from Memphis it went to Atlanta. And Rebecca began to fear, oh no, they lost the address to my parents' house that I gave them. They looked at my wallet, found my Wilmore address, and are sending it to Kentucky. No one's living in the house that we were in right now. I'm never going to get my wallet back. For us, as she called and was telling me, it's not going the right way. Anxiety and worry and stress. From Atlanta, it went to Boulder, Colorado. outside the system, doesn't make any sense at all for it to go from eastern Nebraska, south, east, east, to go west. But in their system, it made absolute sense. That's just the route it was supposed to go. And they weren't worried about it, but we sure were. And sometimes the route that you're supposed to take doesn't seem like it's the right path. Sometimes it seems like it's the wrong path. Sometimes it seems like it's the hardest path. But it's the right path. Paul reminds those in Colossae that there are no shortcuts to God. And Christ's work on the cross was all that we need. All these other teachers, all these other religions that were coming and telling them that Jesus wasn't enough, they were offering a shortcut that was not a shortcut because it didn't lead to Jesus. And he reminds us in verses 3 and 4. Christ died for us on the cross. And in his death, we who are a part of him, we who are in Christ, died with him. Our old life is gone. We have a brand new life. But unfortunately, our brand new life, we fail to live in it. We still live in the old life, as if we were trapped in sin, as if we were still held in bondage to sin and addiction and the stuff that separated us from God. But through Christ, through his crucifixion, through him taking our sins and putting them on the cross, we've been given a new life, and we don't have to live that old life. But we do. And live that old life, even though we have died to this life, and our real life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed to the whole world, we will share in his glory. We forget what we have, that we have died to our old life. And we continue to live in that old life as if we have no other choice. But we do, we've been set free. Paul in verses 1 and 2 talks about setting our sights and setting our hearts on things that are above. Many of us, when we get up in the morning, we may have a set-aside time for us to spend some time in prayer, for us to read a devotional of some sort. That's a good thing. But what Paul is wanting us to do is not just have this moment where we are trying to draw closer to God, but we live a life that is drawing closer to God. Not just having devotions, but living devotionally to God. I got to speak to the football team on this past Friday, and every Friday as they get ready for their game Friday night, they have their own rituals. Things that they do to help them focus, to help them get ready physically and mentally for the game that's going to happen. And if they don't go through the rituals the same way, we've heard sports guys are very superstitious, right? They've got to do the same thing the same way every time. Otherwise, they're going to get a different outcome. They do it because they want to be the best that they can with their team to get a win. What if we began to not just have devotions every morning, but we began to have pre-day rituals that prepared us to live devotionally, that prepared us to face the day and whatever might happen, we do it with the hands and feet and the mind and the voice of God. Every day, what if we got up and we began to have a pre-day ritual? Every day we chose, okay, today, even though I know I've got these things that I'm going to have to face, even though I know I've got these meetings or these people I'm going to have to see, today I am going to allow myself to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be the voice of Christ in the lives of those I come in contact with. Even when people try to push my buttons, even when the unexpected happens. I'm going to choose to focus on the things of God, to set my mind and my heart on the things above and not the things here. That I know that I'm going to face temptation throughout the day. I know that there are people who are going to want me to cut corners and take shortcuts. But as I start my day in my pre-day ritual, I'm going to make the choice to be more Christ-like than world-like. And we know throughout the day we're going to hear many voices through commercials, through friends, through family, through people that don't like us. We're going to hear many things, requesting many things from us, and even telling us some things about ourselves. Some of them are not always positive. What if in our pre-day ritual we began to prepare ourselves to tune out those false voices that tell us we're not created in the image of God, that God did create us good, that if we were really a follower of Christ, we would do certain things, and we listen to the voice of God who says, "You are my child, that I am well pleased with." And we listen to the voice of God that says, "I created you special." The world may not see it. The people around you may not see it. But I see it. And there's a reason I created you. Sometimes the right way is the harder way. Sometimes we have to face things we're not really wanting to face, but follow the path of God, to be His hands and His feet, to be His voice in the lives of others. Sometimes it takes us on a more difficult road than we would have chosen for ourselves, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong road. It just means it's more difficult, because we're trying to do the right thing for the right reasons. Paul wanted those that he was writing to way back when, and I think we need to hear the same message today, that it's not always easy to follow God, but it is always the right path to follow God. As we seek to live life as one who is in Jesus, who the old life is gone, the new life has come, and we choose to live the new life, not enslaved to sin, not enslaved to addiction, not enslaved to all the old stuff that the enemy tries to pull up and say, "You should be ashamed of this. Can you really call yourself a Christian if you've done this in the past?" The old is gone. The new has come. What will we do with it? Will we choose to live in the new? To live in Christ? To be raised with Christ and have our whole life dead to sin, dead to addictions, dead to all the stuff that would enslave us, entrap us, keep us from who God wants us to be? Lives Christ and Him crucified and glorified so that we can be a part of His movement today. Let's go to the Lord. We call you Father God. Jesus said you were Abba, your dad. We know that you love us. And we're thankful for that love. And we're thankful for Jesus, who you sent to live among us, to teach us, to show us the right path to life. Help us to live a life devoted to you, doing the little things because we want to be the best. We want to focus our days. We want to do all that we can to live our lives toward you. Remind us the old is gone and a new has come. Allow us to live into the new. Holy Spirit, awaken us. Awaken us and work in us so that we can learn to live life as Jesus. That we may be in Christ for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Will you stand as we affirm our faith together?